Right, let's now get into the newspaper review brought to us by Syntex Tanker. You're stronger, you're tough, and Access Bank. Access Bank, more than banking.
The Daily Graphic is reporting this morning, in 2024 elections, Bamia Mahama signed peace pact, 11 other candidates concur. And that's Emmanuel Ibohoxin's report. And the other one, Election Security Task Force engages UTAC, and electricity challenges fixed, lights on across the country. This is Energy Minister speaking there. I heard the president saying the same thing too. Okay, well, you know, they give themselves some leeway that escape route, if anything happens, they say, oh, it's a localized problem. So, but we have experienced power problems in this country long enough to be able to understand when something is more routine than localized stuff. And we are not uneducated people to be told stories consistently, because that's how we have dealt with this matter throughout. Anyway, but at least the word that has been accepted here is challenges.
Look,
you know, this government never, throughout the 8 years of its stay, agreed to use, associate with, or be part of any conversation that has doomsday in it. Remember?
Yeah,
so it's either doomsday, or we are fixing it, or we are still fixing challenges the year 2024.
Hold on, Raymond.
After 8 years.
Raymond, so what was the situation?
Yeah.
The lights were going off.
Yeah.
Without notice.
True.
And there was admission. You see, sometimes admission, even by the MD of the Electricity Company of Ghana, he tells you that there is a shortfall. However, because it varies and is not consistent, he cannot give you a load shedding timetable. That does not mean there is no load shedding.
True.
And what we have termed doomsaw, simply load shedding.
That's true.
So you can call it whichever way you want. The truth is, that is the experience of the consumer. And so government may want to, because, you know, in opposition, you talked about these things, government may want to say, oh, we didn't do this. But for me, the most important thing is that I feel it, and that's how I feel it. Look, whenever your light, I mean,
my light went off yesterday.
Ah, oh, you were.
Localized.
At what time?
This in the evening, when the game was ongoing, the Manchester United game.
See? You know, sometimes when
the first half, yeah.
When my light goes off, I make calls to ECG to find out what is happening. When it is, when the light goes off around 6 p.m., I don't even call. Because I know.
You know it's in tandem with policy.
Exactly. Yes. I know that. That's what, I mean, I know that this is load shedding. Anyway.
Well, so they say it's been fixed and that the lights are on across the country. Perhaps your area, they didn't get the memo to put it on. So hopefully by this morning, everything will be...
Oh, it came back. It came back.
Yes.
Dawn or something.
Yes, yes. Yeah. So this
was story a long time.
Yeah.
Yes, this story was for this morning. So the expectation perhaps was that it will come back and you have power this morning. So to all those across the country, the young energy minister, very brilliant law lecturer, has promised you that finally, this is the war to end all wars. And this war... is your power supply has finally been stabilized. They say the problem was largely due to suspension of power delivery services by Sonnen Asoogli Power Plant for commercial reasons. A problem that has been amicably dealt with. Have they paid them?
Oh, but if you listen to News File on Saturday, even with the acting managing director of the Electricity Company of Ghana's contribution to that conversation, it's beyond Sonnen Asoogli.
Oh, no, there's also
IPPs are old, isn't it?
No, they say the situation was further exacerbated by the reduced capacity of car passion for 450 to 50 megawatts because of a fault on the pressure control. The owing of any IPP is not mentioned here. Again, the situation was aggravated by maintenance work being carried out by the Amandi power plant, which started November 15 this year, and the plant was expected to be back in full operation December 7.
So again, my understanding, and this is all from Newsfile last Saturday, is that sometimes because the people involved, as in the power producers, cannot tell you that if you don't pay us, we won't produce. They will tell you just being very diplomatic about it and say that we're doing maintenance, but that's equal to, because you haven't paid us, we are not producing.
So in this country called Ghana, we had an Energy Sector Levy Act, which was to be used to offset these. Then we decided to actually go for a bond so we can pay. Unfortunately, we went for that bond and did not pay energy sector debts, used it for something else, and here we find ourselves today. The very problem that we were supposed to have solved, we are still faced with a problem. I just don't get it. I mean, I just don't get that we put people in authority who are supposed to solve problems. They don't solve the problems. They always explain the problems to us. If it's all about explaining problems, we can all explain problems.
Because we realized there was a money problem, then we raised a tax for it.
Yes.
Then we thought that was fixing the problem and making sure we don't have a conversation on it again.
And we felt that, oh, because, I mean, that the accruals may not be as much as it is, why don't we go for a bond? We can just pay it. Then we use, you know,
we can clear them.
Now we went for the bond. We didn't pay all the
And every time we are having conversations with the people who are producing the power.
Why?
Every time, it's almost as if they are the people who do not like the country and they really are sabotaging the state. But you just have to pay them. What's the big deal with that?
We know that it's even difficult for them to come up with money for their own operations.
And all of these conversations, you ask yourself, why? Why happened to the money?
Why is it that everything the state of Ghana or a state agency does would sometimes cost twice more than the market value?
Well, the Daily Guide newspaper, Baomia to win polls with 50.2%. That's an IPG research. Traders.
Which one is IPG?
I'm not sure. Let's see.
Some progressive group, I think.
Okay, so that's Institute of Progressive Governance.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. I mean, the first time hearing though.
Yeah, I was also going to say.
Yeah.
Anyway,
they have done a very extensive work, I suppose.
I haven't read the entire story.
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying
I haven't gone through the research.
You've not seen that methodology.
Look, whatever happens.
Sorry, we're just 1 week away.
By the 9th or 10th of December, we will know.
No, but in all fairness, the projections of institutions of research can come to pass or not. They are not prophecies.
No.
Even in the Republic of Ghana, some prophecies about elections don't come to pass.
And some prophets have said that if all their prophecies came true, it would mean they are not human.
This one that you have said, you are tempting me to say no. Okay, I'll stay the course. The course is that it's possible for you to project and you get it wrong. It happens in the US, the institutions are not collapsed, it happens elsewhere. The only thing that's required is that you go through the established systems for polling. Not any I sit in my bedroom, write something, and put it out there. That's the only expectation we have of you.
So
I hope you get my point. I get you, no? Yeah, so it's not like you have to do any
my very good friend Kudra Akpabi.
Okay.
Kudra Akpabi, who is a chartered accountant based in the US, and it was part of the Make America Great Again, MAGA, you know, Donald
Trump's team. The Trump team.
He says, good morning. He sent me this message. He said I should share it with Ghanaians on his behalf. He says, please send this message to Ghanaians on my behalf. Please don't believe any poll, either local or international. The real poll is at the ballot box. Ghanaians must rise up in their millions, go to the voting centers in their numbers, and cast their ballots as citizens. The United States did the same a few weeks ago. So he says, the only poll you can believe is the election results.
Mm. Yeah, but we are not disputing that. We're saying ahead of that, there are projections and intellectual engagements around that.
Projections.
It should be nice, the way we accept Afrobarometer reports, the way we accept, it should be sensible for us to do
but
so.
You know,
even though they are difficult.
We've had this conversation before about trusting the Ghanaian when it comes to surveys. Because people can actually tell you a lot of things. Yeah. I will do this, I will do that. I mean, you say, okay, so I placed I did a phone poll.
Mm.
That person even called me. And I said, look, the Ghanaian is such that sometimes he will tell you what you want to hear also.
They even don't trust the institution doing the poll. Yeah. So they think that you are an arm of government or something. So let me just please them. That is a problem with our system. And that's one of the biases and difficulties that all polls would have. Do you account for those ones too? My problem is that we seem to suggest if you say Akufo-Addo, Baomia will win by 50% and he doesn't win by 50%, it means that you did a poor work.
Well, there's a margin of error.
Yes, it might not necessarily mean that. Mm. And we should not throw out all of the polling institutions merely because of that. And I think Beneficent suffered a lot of that. People tend to attack him sometimes needlessly, and when they have not reviewed the methodology, I have not reviewed this methodology before. I have not seen him deploy, and I've not seen his back end, if you want me to call it that way.
So this is based on.
So I'm saying it is sometimes unfair to many when you have not also seen that, to just say that what he says is wrong or what he says is done that.
Yeah.
I mean, clearly.
Yeah, but the real poll will be on 7th December.
Yes, that is the election itself.
Yes, you know. So yeah. It's only 8 days away. I mean, by the evenings, we'll know whether.
But you have been doing some polling on your own.
Oh, he says we will know the night before the election.
He will tell us who
on next week, Friday.
A promise is a promise.
I didn't say
so
that.
So this is on the 6th
of
December.
I only said that we would tell you the regions that would decide elections. I didn't say I was going to tell you who was going to win elections.
Ah, but is that what I said? That's not what I have said.
The question
the
Raymond asked.
But is Raymond filling in the gaps?
He is asking a question about I do polls on my own. So
can you?
So if you respond that way, it means you're only saying that I'm going to tell you who's.
That is
something I have. I don't tell who. I don't predict elections like that.
But if he's going to tell us,
as an established election mathematician,
if he's going to tell us the regions, that would.
Oh, isn't that so? Everyone is very happy.
It will give us. I think it will give us a good idea.
When you
sorry, what are you saying?
If he's going to tell us the regions that would decide the votes.
Yeah.
When you have disinformation.
Yeah.
People sit back and edit.
Yeah. Then now this year we are expecting that. You know what you have done so far, but we're expecting that the peace part will influence their lives and they'll make them not do those things during the election. Because it's a bit, see, again, I don't take for granted that some of us, some of the people in this republic are so invested in this election. They think whoever wins or loses has everything to do with their future, which really is not true, because the evidence has been that people do not really change a lot except for the people around them. That's the evidence.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Yes, I mean, so no matter how invested you are in this election, we should not let it get. We should not be having a conversation that we are going to tell adults behave, okay?
Yeah.
This is an electioneering period. Behave, that you are human beings, and that it's not fair that you kill people. It's not fair that you end up doing what's wrong. Those are conversations that we should only, talk to kids about. Yeah. And I insist that we make it look like a pageant. We make it look like we line up people. We make it look like, listen, if we don't go and sign the peace pact, you're not going to be peaceful. When you're begging to be a leader in this country, really? What standard are you using? Why? Anybody who makes violence an option even on the table is not qualified to be. Why? You're just want to serve. The employee is threatening the employer that, hey, there will be chaos if this or that does not happen. But why? If we decide that we don't even want to do elections again, what will happen in this country? After we have done this so-called experimentation with this thing for God knows how long, and the results, what we see, domestic debt exchange, resultant inflation, and other nonsensical things that we are suffering today. When your colleagues, some of them, they're not even doing elections, and yes, they are delivering on their own results. Others are equally doing elections. And, for example, I asked somebody this question last week. Please, do you know the Electoral Commission conducted the elections in the United Kingdom? He used to head the statistical service. He moved to the you have to go and look for the person. We are made elections and its related engagements the only sign of our democracy and the most important dividends ensuring actual development. We throw it into the gutter. Then every 4 years we are all sitting on tenterhooks because some people are getting jobs. And then we end up suffering at the end of the day too.
You end up suffering under development.
Yes.
4 years close to elections, they start doing things.
This is the Super Morning Show. It's a Friday, is it? Yes, it is Friday.
Oh, well, you've forgotten that today is Friday. Friday.
It is Friday.
The last Friday of November, and it means we're getting into December. This year's December elections
Some way.
It's not going to be the kind of December that you love, is it? But
After the elections, yeah.
I mean, I have always insisted that elections round one, let's get done, and that's it. I don't want second round. Whoever's going to win.
But is it looking, because I think the bit about a possible runoff has been coming up. I've heard that a bit of that this week. You guys are on the political desk. Is it likely?
So we are prophetess.
I haven't said that. I said analyze it and conclude.
I don't know.
Everything is likely and possible.
Everything is possible in an election.
Yeah. It is possible.
No, everything is possible in an election.
Yeah, it means it is possible.
That phrase is not part of my
repertoire. What is the difficulty? Yes.
You know, I'll tell you a funny story. I was emceeing a program and the vice president was there. The people were shouting, "It is possible, it is possible." And I said, "Well, that's not part of my this thing." I
mean, it mandate this morning.
It's not what I say, so don't worry. Okay. And so don't worry. Was, no, you want to say that? I won't say it. But this is it. In an election, anything can happen. Okay, so there's a possibility of a second round, or as in a runoff. It could be a one-touch victory for any of the candidates. I do not know. What I do know is that after the results have been declared, we'll be here to do the analysis as to why this person won or lost. That one, I can do that for you.
Yo, we hear you. Let's get into our UPSA Law School Point of Law series. And today, this is the point of law. It is an offense for someone to form or train a group to use violence, abusive language, or songs meant to insult, discredit, or disturb peace during an election to unfairly influence the results. If convicted, the person may face a fine, imprisonment, or both, and is banned from voting for 5 years after serving their sentence. If a political party is involved, it can be declared a banned organization. And this is from Section 36K of the Representation of People's Act 1982, PNDC Law 284. So if you did not know, now you know. It is an offense for someone to form or train a group to use violence, abusive language, or songs meant to insult, discredit, or disturb peace during an election to unfairly influence the results. If convicted, the person may face a fine, imprisonment, or both, and is banned from voting for 5 years after serving their sentence. If a political party is involved, it can be declared a banned organization. And that's our UPSA Law School Point of Law series, supported by Verna. All right. So.
Okay. Well.
So NPP or NDC can be banned.
Yes.
Yes. NPP or NDC can be banned.
Yes, of course.
I see.
I know you're going to ask who will do the banning.
See. I believe in the rule of law. I believe that no matter who source is God, the laws must reign supreme.
Raymond,
it's no rule of men.
Yes.
That there are no men bigger or better or greater than the laws of a country.
If you think somebody is violating these rules, you can test the law.
No, I ask a simple question. NPP or NDC can be banned.
Yes.
But Raymond,
if they fall
foul, they are not Raymond, above the law.
Raymond.
Really?
Raymond.
Yes.
We were in this country. Right. When they went to form groups and they said it was security groups, we all know they were vigilante groups. Then they transitioned them. We even begged them to go into conferences like this Peace Pact to go and drop the vigilante groups. Were we not aware of this law? This law is not a PNDC law. Why is it not in operation at the time? I'm saying that the suggestions that are in these laws, which is really what has happened, because we do not believe in rule of law.
When you're resolving issues, you don't. It's not one way. You don't always go to the courts.
No, Mama V.
Routes. You get what I mean?
So why is this suggested in the law that you have to go and discuss with the people to drop their vigilante groups?
Hold on. Guys,
you are saying that the law is even supreme. You are sitting here telling me that it's not only one way. We should do what with it?
Hold on. Donald Trump was being tried.
There's something called alternative dispute.
Over a crime.
The moment Donald Trump Donald Trump won the election, the Department of Justice had begun discussions to drop charges against Donald Trump.
Yeah, in fact, the judge said he was not going to even do the judgment on anything because you are waiting for him to serve his presidency.
It only goes to show you, and sometimes look, we deceive ourselves.
Yeah,
some men are more equal than others. That's something we know.
No, but that's no rule of law. It's not so.
But I am telling you that you see a rule of law. Rule of law. Within the rule of law, there's rule of men too.
No, there cannot be rule of men. I do not, for example.
No.
Once there's discretion. Once there's discretion. It's rule of men.
No!
No, once there's discretion.
25 minutes after 7.
No, no, that is not a dispute. Are we talking about
7:25?
See, the problem. Yeah, you have to go to heaven. So we have to do what is right.
I'm already there. I'm just saying that sometimes, even when it is crime, you can resolve it out of, it's not a blanket because it's crime, it must follow this. Do you get what I mean? There are
okay. You're saying Raymond is committing or has committed robbery.
No. If you bring
robbery, we'll have to call Raymond.
No. Okay, guys, we're not talking about robbery here.
Okay, let's.
That's a serious offense.
This is more serious than robbery. Forming an illegal coup. See, do you know what they can do? They can take the will of this country.
We'll come back to this. We need more time for this.
Subvert the.
Hold on to your argument.
It is greater than robbery.
We will return to this.
We will come back.
Yeah.
We'll get to it.
I said we should have discussions with them. You should take them to, what's the name of the place? That hotel that they do these things now. It's a popular hotel that we like having peace packs and those things. We should go and put them there. Give them water.
We are not mentioning.
Yes. It's a very popular place for those of us.
Can I say good morning to a special person?
Please go ahead.
Yes. I want to say good morning.
Especially want to prosecute people who are actually on.
Hold on. Harvey, go ahead. Say good morning to. It's been a while, you know.
Yeah.
So since you
special
came back,
good
you
morning
it,
to the managing ahead. Director of GCB Bank PLC,
hey!
Mr. Kofi Adomako.
I greet you, sir. Good morning.
Let me also say
better fall in line.
Let me also say good
because
morning.
Because Wesley wanted to say some.
Let me
he
say
said,
good
go
morning
ahead, go
to
ahead. Yes.
Daniel Appiah, who is head of commercial banking at Cowbank. Yes, Daniel.
I have nobody to say good morning to this morning. I still want to talk about the fact that people are abusing the laws
after the sports.
Yes,
let's move on.
The big stories today, we're talking about the peace pact that was signed yesterday. I guess the big question really, does it prevent violence? Does this stop us from experiencing, you know, all the challenges that come with elections? We've got unresolved issues from 2020. So really, what does this peace pact mean? What does it mean?
Two arguments. First one, there are conscionable people who do not need just laws to get them to do what is right, but a pact committing them to peaceful elections during and after is what's required. It has no force of law, essentially, generally. It might not actually be actionable under any circumstance, but it is supposed to appeal to you as a conscionable human being. But we are taking it on the premise that people who are contesting an election are conscionable people. I mostly do not have that belief in our people. It was Kwaku Tuohun Bombasin, a former Nuk's president, who said politicians cannot be trusted to do what is right when political power is at stake. Perhaps it's the reason why some people believe we should have this. But there's a deeper worry I have about how we project some of these things. For instance, if we're not NATO in this fourth republic, we've done more than 30 years.
Yeah.
The things of importance to people, we should take it for granted that there's an election happening and peace is guaranteed. We should not be having some of these things look like the sine qua non for peace existing in Ghana. It's embarrassing to all of us. It makes us look bad. And that's why I asked you that question earlier. Do you know the EC chair of the United Kingdom when they conducted the election?
No.
Me, I had to look for the person on the internet and get to know the person left a statistical service boss chair and went to EC.
Doesn't even occur to us.
No. People.
Like, who is running the elections there?
Yes,
it doesn't click.
So we should remove all of these things that makes it look like without certain people, without certain assurances, without the pact, without written concentrated documents, without the not swearing, without the commitment to some of these documents, you can't do what is right. And this is not just to political parties, we should be fair. It is also to every relevant state agency in this election. Please, nobody forces anybody to take public office in Ghana. We don't write invitation letters to people to take office. So if you have submitted yourself to take office, the least you can guarantee a country poorly run is the peace to continue. I hope you get my point.
Sure, I do.
Basic stability is the least you can guarantee us. And it doesn't give me any confidence. When you have to line up people, come and do speech, I am committing to this, I'm committing to that. I respectfully suggest that we should rather be making people commit that they will never get us into a domestic debt exchange. Because it affects us too. Stability is important. But I think at this stage, we should take for granted that there will be stability. We cannot have people who are not only adults, people who are swearing to do good for Ghana. You see how opposite it sounds?
Yes.
You want to do good for this country. And yet,
You have to go and sign a pact to do the good. What's the point?
You see, you make the point. If you're willing to serve a country,
yeah.
Why must you be forced,
mm-hmm.
or why must you be reminded on the need to commit to peace? And that's the most important thing.
Mm-hmm.
These persons, 12 of them, who say, we want to lead Ghana. Are we saying that these persons would want violence in order to lead Ghana? And it means they are not in for the interest of the country.
True.
Because why? I mean, I say, and you know, yesterday, I mean, I say we should take it for granted. I agree with you, mm-hmm. that elections will come and go, and that's the end of it. But you see, in a country where everything is associated to or linked with political power, that is what you get.
True.
So today, even within the NPP, you would hear people saying that we are opposition in government.
Mm-hmm.
So they are also waiting for an opportunity to get into government, so-called. Because when they get into government, or if they get into government, they would also get to enjoy. You would hear the NDC say that, Charlie, we've been in opposition for 8 years. At least let us also come and get small. And you ask the question, what are you going to get? And so this is the point. All the violence you see associated with elections, it is because people are getting in there not to serve the interest of the country, but to serve their parochial, partisan, or individual interest. It's as simple as that.
Mm.
Look, if you want to serve, and the people say they don't vote for you, you beg, you walk away. That's the end of it. But unfortunately, in this country called Ghana, people want to get into power, not because they really want to do anything. And anytime, look, if you really want to understand our politics, listen to the political, the aspirants when they campaign internally. Mm, when it gets to internal elections, in our jurisdictions, during internal elections, they are talking policies.
True.
So as part of the internal elections, you know whose policies, are the best.
Mm-hmm.
Whose policies are loved by the people or are liked by the people. And so by extension, this person can get you into government. In our country, when they go for elections, they start by saying that, Meba, if I come, all the women organizers will be school feeding coordinators.
True.
That's how they start.
Mm-hmm.
Women organizers will be school feeding coordinators. Youth organizer will be YEA coordinators.
Regional chairman will become regional ministers.
Then regional organizers will be NADMU,
yes.
or something else. So right from the beginning, these people are sharing portfolios that would enrich themselves.
Mm. Without even seeing the CVs of the people ahead of time.
No. And see, that's the problem. And so today here we are. We're talking about we need peace. It should be a giving, like the Gen Z say.
Mm.
I mean, in this election, after 32 years of voting, I should go to sleep and say that, I'll wake up the next day or two knowing who's won elections. And it's as simple as that.
Talking about Gen Z talk, I just have to add no cap.
You know, unfortunately for us, and so we are talking about Peace Park, Aung San, hello. That is not the level that we should be at this time in our development. We should be thinking about, programs and policies now. Whose programs and policies are the best for the country? And not thinking about, would there be violence? Look, let me end on this note before I come to my view. In no civilized country would somebody die to get somebody elected as president.
Mm.
By now, all the people who played any role in the murder of 8 persons should have been facing the law.
Mm. And it's been 4 years.
4 years.
4 good years. Mm. I've not heard of any prosecution. Let's say it's an arrest.
Investigation? Because you need evidence to go to court.
We didn't see what happened.
Yeah, see, some of these things were captured on tape.
We saw them.
You see, yeah, sometimes.
But,
you see,
it's for somebody to put it together. It's for somebody to put it together and present a case.
This is how people suspect your justice delivery system,
mm-hmm.
because it doesn't make sense to anybody. You can frame justifications for it, but we don't do it inside the circumstance.
Yeah.
We fast track it. Let me give an example. When policemen are attacked or anything happens to them in this republic, in the case of the long time case of the ninja guy and what happened?
Kuku Ninja and Tola.
They were buried under concrete.
Yeah.
How long did it take for us to rebuild? There was no, at that time, there was no camera.
No.
We rounded up an entire community.
were able to get, because we are not interested. We have just classified it as political crime.
So you see, that's why when I see the head of the police as part of signing of a peace pact, you know, not even touch on the fact that we haven't resolved the issues of the violence in the previous elections, and even give us an update in terms of where we are with whatever actions that were taken against the people. I wonder, do we actually really believe in what we did yesterday as parties in this, or stakeholders in the elections, or we're just signing because there's the expectation once we've been called upon to do it, we're doing it? Does it sink in? Is there true meaning to it? Because if there is true meaning, then we can't just pretend that violence didn't happen, that people didn't die in 2020.
And we know the cost of violence. Me, last week, I saw an area in Ukraine where Russian military people took up people, went to keep them in a bunker, more than in the school's, basement. Under very inhumane conditions. Mamavi, you not think that these people survived. Then they took their children away. Real life, real experience. These are ordinary people, farmers, who lived their lives without any contact with any agri grouping, and they went about their ordinary life. For more than 30 days, they were kept there. Human beings. With their children finally taken away from them. Some of them to date, they can't find their children. They've gone back to their homes. They've gone back to live their normal lives, but they cannot find their children. In fact, sometimes if you are lucky, somebody would have a call. You receive a recording to your community or to you that they want to free your child, but Ukraine does not want to allow Russia to return your child. Then the people on the other side will say, it's not possible. We are interested in
return. So this is all just made up?
Yes. So that it will also make you put pressure on your government, or make you have sentiments terribly towards your own government. I am saying, if you speak to those women in those communities, the impact of violence on their lives, how people dragged them, how they were before their own husbands by being raped by soldiers, and they let them watch it. They lined them up to watch soldiers they've never seen in their lives rape them. And they were not only raping women, they were doing it to men too, right before their own family members, sometimes kids involved. We cannot get to those stages. There is nothing that can be exchanged for our peace as a people. Nobody in this country can dispute that. Nobody can. And you may not know, but if you listen to their stories, killing and hearing from the human beings that have been involved, you see the level of damage that has been done to a human being permanently. And what will happen to kids subsequently? Next door, we've had so many examples of how elections go bad and people end up being in different cases. I am not diminishing the 8 people that died in this country. But we should elevate our politics beyond, because the politics is not delivering the ordinary goals. It's not delivering the development. And that should be important. Today, our predominant conversation is, whoever wins, are we going to get the goals we want as a people? Or we are going to come together and come to contribute money for government's responsibility? Those things never take center stage. Every day, go and sign contract or pact or some agreement, pledge, come and stand before the camera and say something differently. When within the same party, you hear some of them say, if they don't do this thing, they should not blame us for anything that happens in this country. Yeah. If they do this thing, we'll do that. If the people say, we'll never hand over. All of these words are being said by the same set of human beings.
So the people who invite them to sign, are they not hearing, are they not seeing?
I stand here to assure all stakeholders, including the international community, that the judiciary is extremely alert to the high stakes for national cohesion and stability invoked by competitive elections. We are therefore guided by every principle of national interest to give high priority to the resolution of disputes that can affect the stability of the democratic process. We note that by operation of law, conventions of diplomacy, and social adherence, the signatories of the Presidential Elections Petition, Elections Peace Pact 2024, have not only expressed their leadership commitment to the peace and stability of Ghana, but have given a binding and irrevocable undertaking that becomes the standard for national collaboration around their efforts to win the mandate of the electorate in this year's election. The judiciary of Ghana is grateful for the gallant certification contained in the Presidential Elections Peace Pact 2024. I wish to assure all political parties that to the best of the ability of the justice sector and within the requisite constitutional directions, substantive rules on any electoral offense or dispute, the rules of court and the laws of evidence, the judiciary and judicial service of Ghana will administer all processes of dispute management with efficiency and effectiveness and discharge our constitutional obligation to the good people of Ghana. Through these assurances, we express our utmost accountability.
The day the power of love overrules the love for power, the world will know peace. I stand for peace and development. Peace is possible.
We're all here to make Ghana a better place, a lively place, and a happy place. Let's be domesticated.
The Ghana Union Movement, we stand for peace. We call for peace.
The only person that when you cast your vote on that will bring peace is Kofi Akpaloo.
Definitely NDP, committed to peace.
All of us are a very peaceful nation. Do what you know is right. And when there's justice and fairness, all of us will embrace the results of this election.
Let us all pledge to promote peace during these elections. We owe it to ourselves, to our children and future generations to preserve the peace and stability that our dear country Ghana has enjoyed for so long.
We must all have a role in making sure that this country is peaceful before, during, and after the election. Ghana will win, and we will have a peaceful country.
The New Vision Movement and the team of Kofi Kranting embrace peace. Ghana will win.
Now, till election day, we shall all act peacefully, and the outcome shall bring glory to God, and Ghana shall be the winner.
May peace guide our actions, and may democracy prevail in its truest form.
Honorable Alan John Kwejo Chamateng and his Movement for Change are totally committed to the peace of our nation before, during, and after this election.
Coffee in your cup and joy on the set. The Super Morning Show is always the best bet on Joy 99.7 FM.
It's 28 minutes after 8. This is the Super Morning Show. We're also looking at this issue. The Electoral Commission reporting a shortage of presidential and parliamentary ballot papers for 5 constituencies in the Volta region. Well, good thing is the Electoral Commission has taken steps to rectify this situation. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Well, while the Electoral Commission is taking steps, I think the Electoral Commission is making too many mistakes. Too many mistakes. Okay? And so, I mean, we've talked about how tensions are high and, you know, there are allegations and counter-allegations here and there. The last thing you want to do is to hear that the Electoral Commission continuously makes mistakes. So, it was, you know, serial numbers, errors in serial numbers in certain areas. You had to go burn them and reprint. Then you make mistakes again. Now, this is not just, you know, the shortage of... There's also problems again with serial numbers in Brekum East and Brekum West in the Bono region. When you do these things consistently, people begin to raise doubts about the process. And so, Electoral Commission, enough! Okay, just get it done once and for all. Get it done. And don't keep coming as old. I mean, we've wrecked. Look, you must not create grounds, fertile grounds for the rejection of the ballots. Don't ever create fertile grounds for rejection of ballots. And so the Electoral Commission should be careful.
Happy birthday to you, Madam Margaret Donko, a.k.a. MacD, Acting Director, Public Engagement Department of Parliament of Ghana. May the Lord richly bless you and keep you. All right, it's from Kesi, Joy News Parliamentary Cameraman to you. MacD, enjoy your birthday
today. That's what the Director of what, Public Engagement.
Public, yes.
Okay.
Acting director, public engagement.
I like
engagement.
The portfolio. Public engagement.
Inyo.
Okay. Yeah. Nice one.
All right. Big stories here on the show brought to us by Telecel, Connecting Energy's latest form, your partner for life, Lancaster University, Ghana, the only British university campus in West Africa. So back to the Super Morning Show. Now, listen, the Minerals Income Investment Fund wishes to remind all active and licensed gold mine entities, quarry operators, salt mining operators, limestone operators, and sand winners to pay the appropriate minerals royalties into the designated MIIF account at the Bank of Ghana or through ghana.gov.gh to avoid sanctions. All production or sales returns must be filed with the Ghana Revenue Authority at any of its offices. By this notice, all operators who are yet to pay outstanding minerals royalties are required to pay by December 1st, 2024 and update their records at any office of the GRA and MIIF head office. MIIF is undertaking a nationwide operation to ensure all mining companies comply with Section 28 of the Minerals Income Investment Fund Act 2018 as amended. Kindly treat this information as urgent and act on it to avoid sanctions. For further information, contact MIIF via nana.tando@miif.gov.gh or call 0201-855-660 or 0201-855-612 and 0201-855-564.
Now, you're a graduate from the University, Polytechnic College of Education, Nursing and Midwifery College, or you've just completed SHS and looking for the opportunity to study your dream course abroad. You can study in countries like Australia, Canada, in UK, US, Ireland, New Zealand, and more. Now, these countries have an excellent reputation in teaching and research, and you can work part-time to support your studies and get up to 4 years post-study work visa when you have completed successfully. Applications for January 2025 is ongoing. Contact Astrolinks to get information about admission, scholarship, as well as how to secure your study visa. Astrolinks is located at 4A Popo Street, East Legon. Call them on 0265-341070. Visit them on their website, astrolinks.net. Astrolinks, pathway for success.
Now, let me bring you the good news because it's happening tomorrow. Join us for the exclusive launch, not lunch, launch of the BWP Corporate Cocktail Night. That's the Best Western Plus Corporate Cocktail Night. Yeah, I mean, Winston, you're invited, right?
Yes,
my
yes,
has
yes.
Promised to take me.
Oh, yes. I heard her promising you. So
yes, unlike what
she has
happened,
to deliver, not what? The night market during the day.
Yes, 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 yes. Well, you promise people rice at night market, then we'll go during the day when you know fully that they only operate in the night, not this one. This one, she's convinced that she's taking me to BWP Corporate Cocktail Night. That's what you promised, right? Brilliant. It's tomorrow, I'm reminding you. It's at 5 p.m. and it's at the Best Western Plus Accra Beach Hotel. Amavi, I'm giving you details. No, don't go and miss the road. Network, connect, and celebrate with like-minded professionals like us at this exclusive end-of-year event, honoring our esteemed guests and clients. Enjoy live music, engaging conversations, and thrilling prizes, including Caveman Watches and GTB Premium Fabrics. Now, the headline sponsors are Caveman Watches and GTP Fashion. Sponsors, again, are Casa Preco, Drinks Avenue, and Kamensita, Ghana. Partners are Yawado Development, Soho Accra, Independent Africa, White Restaurant, and Luna Rooftop. Media partners, Joy Prime, Hits FM, and Black Volta. Strictly by invitation or reservation. So you have a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity to reserve by calling this number, 0509-651-381. And let's close the year in style with our loyal and new guests and clients. See you.
Yeah, see you tomorrow.
Mm-hmm.
The Ghana Revenue Authority reminds all persons registered for VAT NHIL Get Fund Levy that VAT NHIL Get Fund Levy and Communication Service Tax CSD returns for October 2024 should be submitted on the VAT NHIL Get Fund Levy and CSD returns forms not later than Friday, today, 29th of November, which is the last working day of the month. File your VAT NHIL Get Fund Levy and CSD returns early early and avoid payment of penalties. For VAT, NHIL get fund levy. The penalty is 500 Ghana cedis and a further penalty of 10 Ghana cedis for each day the return is not submitted. For CST operators, late filing of returns attracts a pecuniary penalty of 2,000 Ghana cedis and a further penalty of 500 Ghana cedis for each day the return is not submitted. Remember to submit the October 2024 returns not later than today, Friday, 29th of November 2024, which is the last working day of the month, and avoid paying penalties. Kindly get in contact with the GRA. Send an email to info@gra.gov.gh or by WhatsApp 055-299-0000 and 020-063-1664.
So thinking of treating yourself to something special, planning a quick getaway, or maybe surprising someone you love, whatever the moment, Stanbic Visa cards are here to help you. Say yes. Give us a call on 0302-815-789. Find us on social media at Stanbic Bank GH or visit stanbicbank.com.gh. Stanbic Visa cards, making Black Friday deals and holiday magic even better.
Now, the Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited is organizing its end-of-year furniture promotional sales from the 15th of November to the 31st. Take note, 15th to 31st of December this year. Kingdom Books and Stationery is giving you up to 15% discount on all furniture at our furniture shops in Tema, near Community 4, at the head office at Akwaje, and also in Takoradi, they are the market circle. If you are in Cape Coast, it's the University Bookshop. Go to the Sprinters Road, and it's near APSA at Atomic Center Point Mall. And in Winneba, you get a ride on the University Campus at KNUST and also at Santasi in Kumasi. Can also shop online, kingdomstoreonline.com. Harry Wild Stocks Last. For further inquiries, contact us at the following number: 0501-620-810 or 0302-764-101, or email us at info@kingdomgh.com. Kingdom Books and Stationery Limited, where quality and affordability are assured. Terms and conditions, however, apply.
All right. Special happy birthday to Frances Kokoi Ajavon Okujeto of Tema International School. It's from Israel to you. May the good Lord continue to bless you richly and favor you and your entire household. I wish you long life and prosperity in good health.
It's the best breakfast show in town.
It is, no doubt. In studio on the Super Morning Show this morning, Dr. Hadi Mohamed Abdullah, and he's senior specialist neurosurgeon and chairman of Kolibu at 100 Homecoming Committee. Dr. Hadi, good morning. Good to see you, certainly.
Good morning and good to see you, our lovely wife.
But Kolibu is 100.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah. Kolibu is 100.
Congratulations to you. Are you called to all the workers of Kolibu, all those who have passed through this 100 years?
Thank you. Thank you. And like we always say, Kolibu, you are ladon. My sister always used to sing that song to me because I was saved in Kolibu some years ago.
Oh, wow.
So when I'm being naughty, she used that song to tease me. Yeah.
Well, so as part of the 100 celebrations, you've got a number of things that you're doing. I want us to jump straight into it. Tell us about it.
Yeah, so, you know, several committees were set up to celebrate the 100 years of the existence of Kolibu Teaching Hospital. So they set up a homecoming committee, and I was made the chairman of the committee. So for the past few months, we rolled up several programs, and this is really the last one for us.
Okay.
And so this evening at Alisa Hotel.
Oh, today 29th.
Today 29th. Okay. Yes. From 5 p.m. Mm-hmm. till mother calls. Yes, we hope to launch and outdoor the legacy project.
Okay.
And then also honor our heroes. You know, a lot of people have impacted Kolibu over the years. Mm-hmm. So this evening, we're looking forward to honor doctors, nurses, those even in the transport section, the hospitality, session, nurses, some of the unsung heroes who have really kept Kolebu going.
Yeah.
You know, you've heard sometimes here in the news. I remember when I was in the UK, I kept hearing about our lift issues and it's there are
the surgical units.
Yes.
Yes.
And there are actually unsung heroes like engineers on the ground who made sure that these lifts continue to function. Mm-hmm. There are some of them that have gone into tunnels that you and I would not even dare go there just to make sure that water is running, to make sure that electricity is running. I mean, you can imagine for a hospital which is 100 years, you can imagine the cables in the hospital. I mean, even our own homes that are much younger than Kolebu, from time to time we have to change the electric cable systems, you know. So you can imagine these guys going there sometimes at the peril of their lives. And we want to honor these people.
Right.
People have used their monies to buy equipment, to set up even centers that have become iconic for the whole of Africa, and people benefit from it. So we really want to honor these people. And at the same time, to also make sure that we position Kolebu very well, looking the next 100 years, which we think that healthcare practice is going to change.
Right.
A lot is going to depend on the technology, AI, robotics are really going to be in the mainstay. And where I was in the UK, this has already taken place, where I've seen trainees like doctors who have become innovators, they have become inventors of the very equipment that they use and how this makes surgeries, healthcare like very quick, and the outcomes are much better. And now we are in the era that you can actually predict the outcome of surgery. So you can use AI to do all these things.
Yeah.
And I've met Ghanaians even in the UK who are actually helping the UK government to do these things. So we want to be in the era that we can produce our own equipment that we use.
Right.
We want to go into research and predict that in the next 50 years, this is how the healthcare of Ghana is going to look like, and prefer like solutions, practical solutions to it.
Right. Okay, so I guess that's why we're doing the fundraising.
Yes.
So that's the fundraising aspect.
That's the fundraising aspect.
So is this the project?
Yes, so that's the legacy project.
Okay.
And we have like five arms of the legacy project.
Okay.
So it is a multi-center, which will start with the in-service training center where we do our continuous professional education for nurses, for doctors. So that is where anyone who comes to Kolebu first is trained, and it's really in bad shape. So that will be like the skills training center will be the first.
So renovating that facility?
Yeah, modernizing it.
Modernizing
actually.
It.
Yeah,
okay.
Modernizing it.
All right.
And then we have the research wing, as I've said.
Is that in existence or
no?
This, okay.
It's only the in-service training, the skills center that is in existence, but it's really in bad shape.
Okay.
But the rest of the four are going to be new.
Okay.
And you come with conference centers.
All right.
And we've all been calling for. So the second part will deal with stimulation and then training.
Okay.
You know, we've all been calling for a lot of people to be admitted into the medical school. So it's going to be difficult to get several dead bodies to be dissecting, for example. You know, so we want to build this center that will serve as a simulation center that happens in aviation and other centers. This comes at a greater cost, but we think that if Kolebu is able to have such a center, we can train more doctors, we can train more nurses. It will actually make it even cheaper to train these people.
All right.
And then the third part will be AI and robotics, and then biomedical engineering. So we want, there are a lot of doctors who are quite brainy, And one of them was Professor Frimpong White. You remember he was able to actually produce his own motor oil, the fuel for his vehicle, you know, from a particular plant. I have one of my colleagues who today is the IT consultant for the Electoral Commission. He's a consultant physician, Yao Foreji. Right. And there are a lot of doctors like that, which I feel that we've not given them the platform to innovate and impact healthcare. So the AI, robotics, and biomedical engineering is looking at giving these people the platform to come out with new innovations.
All right. So who's invited tonight?
Yeah, so this is strictly by
invitation.
Invitation. Okay. So we're looking at the, how do you call it, the movers and shakers of the country who can support us, because this is going to cost a lot of money to do. But eventually, it's going to save us.
Yeah.
You know, just imagine some few days ago, we were discussing dialysis, you know. But there must be an exit point. There must be an exit point.
Yeah.
People with diabetes.
Yeah.
What is the last resort for them? And we've noticed that you can actually now use AI and implant devices in people to actually estimate their blood levels. And then that same device can actually release insulin into this. And that is what AI can do.
Yeah.
We should be able to do renal transplant as a routine surgery. We shouldn't, a hospital shouldn't do renal transplant and then it will be broadcast throughout the whole of Ghana.
I mean, a normal thing.
Yes, yeah. And in the next century, we want these things to be routine in Ghana.
Okay.
So the future really looks bright. I'm not speaking like a politician, even though we look. Yes, we are in the political season.
No, but you don't sound political.
Yeah, but I want all Ghanaians to see Kolebu as their own. It's an iconic hospital.
No, it is our own.
Yes.
We say it's the last resort,
right? It is respected throughout the world. Mm. I mean, few months that I spend in the UK, I realize how skillful we are.
Yeah.
And the only thing we lack is the equipment. And want to make sure that the next generation of doctors will be able to harness their full potential and give us the best.
Well, we're going to end our conversation here, but after this event, please come back. Let's have another conversation, because I guess all of us, because Kolebu is our own, we also would like to contribute in our own small ways to this project that you're coming up with. So let's deal with the movers and shakers first, and then you come to all of us.
Good.
But thank you so much. Congratulations again
thank
to
you.
The entire Kolebu team.
Thank you.
All right.
And we'll make the account number also available to you, so that those who want to contribute to the project will help. I think we should all try and make this happen.
Absolutely.
And it's really going to create jobs if we're able to do it.
Yeah.
Because then we can start even exporting some of the equipment.
Absolutely.
And I've met people in the Western world who are ready to help our biomedical engineers to start doing this, and probably that will be the first time in West Africa that we are able to do this. So.
All right. Dr. Hadi Abdullah, I'd like to say thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
He is the chairman of the Kolebu at 100 Homecoming Committee. But if you go to Kolebu on any other day, he's a senior neuro specialist neurosurgeon as well. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Mama.
All right. Stay with us. This is the Super Morning Show.